Reformed Church.
And you can do this with a lot of different things in life, where you sort of put off trusting in God for certain areas of your life for like another day. And you forget that today is the day to enter the inheritance. And when it comes to wealth, today is the day. It's not like when you get some promotion, then that's when you start, you know, trusting God with wealth to make you exceedingly wealthy. It's not like there's going to come a day when then you start trusting God so that you don't have to be in debt anymore, because it's really not the will of God for you to be in debt, because debt is a kind of slavery, the Bible says, because it's a kind of obligation. And today is the day to start trusting God with that. One thing I will point out to you regarding debt, and then so you'll have to just take this in context with all the stuff we've already taught at this church about wealth, but when it comes to debt, you know, one scenario in which you know automatically that you're kind of not seeing it yet when it comes to debt, and if you maybe you just don't have a revelation of that yet, but if you think you have a revelation of it, and this particular scenario might show you that maybe you don't understand it as well as you think, because sometimes we go into debt and we finance things that we don't actually have to finance. For instance, you're going to buy a new phone. We'll finance it. That's debt, right? And you say, well, that's a small thing. But if you go into debt for a small thing that you don't have to go into debt for, how is it that we think that we won't go into debt when it seems necessary? Because sometimes even when it seems necessary, you can really trust the Lord with it, and he'll show you, you don't need to go into debt for this. I can give you the money. You can save up for it, whatever. But we'll go into debt out of convenience. We'll go into debt when we really don't have to. We'll go into debt for things that aren't even necessities. And first of all, that's the wrong way to use debt. Today in America, we use debt out of convenience, which is not the way to use it. First of all, you know, I'm going to probably summarize this in Deuteronomy 15. Deuteronomy 15 explains, this is what it says. It says, in the seventh year under the law, in the seventh year, you were to release two different kinds of people. You were to release your slaves in the seventh year, right? And in the seventh year, you were also supposed to release your debtors. And it goes to show you just that alone, what God thinks about debt, that he likens it to slavery, because debt is a kind of obligation you put yourself in, right? It's the difference between, for instance, you working for an employer, right? Many of us work for an employer. That's voluntary, though. You can quit, you can get out of it. But it's the difference between that and then, say, telling your employer, I'll sell myself to you so that I have to work for you for 7 years. Those are two different things, right? In one, you're still free. In the other, you've put yourself in bondage. Debt is a kind of bondage. You've put your finances in bondage because it's not voluntary. You're not paying something voluntarily. You're paying it out of obligation. You have to pay them back because you use someone else's money. And God doesn't want you to be enslaved. He wants you to reign over things in this world, not be under the things in this world, right? So, so to take one, to glean one thing from chapter 15 here in Deuteronomy 15, it says that you're to release your slaves and your debtors, which shows you, he already sees it as slavery, right? The Bible says, I think this is Proverbs 22, that the borrower is servant or slave to the lender. So that already confirms that what God thinks about debt. It's not that God doesn't want you to go into debt because it's a sin. He doesn't want you to go into debt because he wants you to reign. He wants you to be pushing you forward more and more, where you reign over things in this life, not that you are more and more and more in bondage to things in this life, you know, or locking your finances up in obligation to somebody else. So, okay. So that's one thing that we can glean from this. Another thing we should glean from this, too, is that in verse 4, for instance, if you even look at verse 3, first, verse 3, it says, of a foreigner you may exact it again, but that which is thine with your brother, your hand shall release. So he's talking about releasing your debtors, right? But then in verse 4, it says, save, in other words, accept, when there shall be no poor among you. Now, I can't go into real depth with this, but notice his wording here. He says, you need to release your debtors, except when there is no poor among you, he says, because the Lord is going to greatly bless you. So there, in other words, he's saying, release all of your debtors, of course, with the exception of the fact that when there is no poor among you, he's saying, then you won't need to release your debtors, because there won't be any debtors then. But you'll notice, he used synonymously the term debtor and poor, right? He says, you need to release your debtors, except when there is no, what, debtors? No, when there is no poor among you. So it shows that even with debt, God sees the only utility for debt is when you are too poor to meet your necessities. For instance, it is better to go into debt than to not eat, right? It is better to go into debt. It's better to for instance, let's say you're in America, you wouldn't get this desperate. There are programs that are even in place that you would never get this desperate in America. But let's say you were faced, like back in Bible times, where you have no food, you can't feed your family's starving, you haven't eaten in weeks, and all of a sudden now you're faced with this thing. It would be better for like a man of his household to say, I'll sell myself to work for you for 7 years if you'll feed my family. That debt, that's slavery, right? But it's better to be a slave than to starve to death, right? It's better to go into debt than to starve or something, right? So he sees the utility of debt as something you do as a last resort when you're poor. And so debt was never perceived by God, you can see, out of convenience. He also calls debtors the poor in verse 9 as well. It's like an assumption by God. Like, well, if you went into debt, clearly you were too poor to meet your necessities. Debt was never something that you wanted the new iPhone, so you went into debt for it. That was never the usage for debt. Again, debt is not a sin. Debt is an act of desperation. Debt is something you do when you can't afford a necessity, right? There also may be things that we deem necessities that aren't actually necessities today. But that aside, so that's another thing we can glean from this. So debt is a last resort that you use when you can't afford a necessity. It's not something you go into debt for something that is frivolous or something that's not. It's something that you do when you're too poor. It's also, debt is likened to slavery in the Bible. It's synonymous with it, which is why one would ever only ever do that as a last resort when you were too poor to meet your necessities. And also, you will notice this as well, that in verse 6, he says, for the Lord your God shall bless you. In other words, so you won't have to go into debt. It says, as he promised you, and you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow, and you shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. You see, again, he adds that clarification as to why, what is the reasoning? Because, you know, I've heard a lot of preachers, and I'll just kind of start wrapping this up, but I've heard a lot of preachers talk about not going into debt, and the reasons, which are good financial reasons, but they give reasons like, well, you're going to pay twice as much for whatever you go into debt for. That's true. That's true. You're going to pay an unnecessary amount of money. And they'll talk about the sort of financial ramifications of it. And you know, when I was younger, even hearing those things, that never won me over. I still was using a credit card. That never won me over. But God's reasoning constantly through the Bible to not go into debt is for reigning. It's so that you can reign and not be under subjection, under servitude, under obligation to anybody. Now, this would go for any area of your life. God doesn't want you in obligation ever as a slave to anybody. He doesn't want you putting yourself in a bind where you're obligated to someone to do it. Again, we should submit to people. You should submit to your employer. You should submit to government. But God doesn't want you to ever be in a place where you are a slave to something, where you have to do it under obligation. He wants you to be able to submit willfully, right? Not under obligation. And so I would submit that to you, that sometimes we wait, like I said, for a particular time off in the future somewhere to start trusting God with these things. But these are small decisions. You know, your washer and dryer or your washer, breaks. That's a decision where sometimes we might be able to just, you know, if I just wait or if I just save up just a short period of time, I might even already have the money, then I don't have to put that on a credit card. You know what I mean? Like, and maybe it's inconvenient. Ms. Kim was even talking about how her mom for a time had to wash clothes in the bathtub. And all I'm trying to say is there are things that sometimes we do have the power to not go into debt. We do have the power to trust God sometimes. Well, we always have the ability to trust God, but when we trust God, we may actually even have already the means to not go into debt for something, and we still do it willfully, which shows that we really don't have a revelation of why God doesn't want us to go into debt. And if you don't do it in a small thing, you won't do it in a big thing. Like, it starts right now today to trust God in these areas. If you want to be wealthy, again, this is training for reigning in life. And when you see yourself just using debt out of convenience, it shows you don't have a revelation on what God's best is for you. God's best is that you reign, not that you be in servitude. Again, it's not a sin. That's why it says it's okay for us to lend to other people. But again, God sees debt as something you do when you're too poor to meet your necessities. And for the vast majority of people, they're not going into debt because they don't have enough money to meet necessities. And, you know, I've recommended this before. I'll just throw it out there one more time. If you actually want specific financial advice on how to get out of debt, a great way that I agree with most of the financial advice given is listen to Dave Ramsey. I'm just not going to reinvent the wheel by teaching the same stuff that he already teaches on finances. But it's, I'm just saying, sometimes people don't take the help that they already have available to them. So if you're in debt, there's some really practical stuff there that you can just go listen to. But anyway, that's just on a practical note. So I'll just wrap this up. But it's really important. God, like, we can trust God with our finances right now. We can start saying, you know what, Lord, I trust you. Like, when a bill comes in, you could throw something on a credit card, or you can say, you know what, Lord, I trust you for this. Well, and you can have discernment. God may tell you, you know, let's say you're going to buy a house. God, you may go to the Lord and say, Lord, I trust you for this. I trust I can buy this house debt-free. And I know that's your will for me. I know that's your best for me. But Lord, is this something that right now, according to my faith, that I'm able to do? A house might be something you might need to ask God about, you know, for that. But there are things. God may say, well, you don't need to buy too much house. You can buy this much and you can do it debt-free. Or God may say, you know what, you need to buy this house and it's a necessity right now for you to move, but, you know, you need a small mortgage and then I'm going to empower you to pay it off quickly or whatever it is. But it is better, for instance, to buy a house debt-free. It is better to buy all things debt-free. The Lord told me specifically that going forward, even with my purchases, small or big, he's told me, and we already have scripture, so we don't even need this extra thing, but he's told me, I want you to be debt-free. And he's actually told it to me in a kind of a funny way. But that's something that, I'm not saying I'm perfect on that, I'm just saying that, like, we should trust God today with that, because he wants us to reign today.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.